This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Conscious Kitchen family, welcome. It is our anniversary episode. Can you believe it? 50! Wow. Liz and I began in 2019 in hopes to take all of our conscious conversation that we curated in our home in Los Angeles, California, and Chinatown in our three-bedroom home. And we just love to meet in the kitchen. And we found ourselves having these beautiful, consciously awakened type of conversations with our roommates. And that is truly the heart of the home, is the kitchen. I don't know what it is about the kitchen, but it always feels so warm, so inviting, and everyone is congregating and discussing about family and friends or how the end of their day was. So really through this podcast, which took a year in the making, I really hope it has filled you guys up, made you question your life, have these introspective questions that you might need to discover about yourself, and finding some resolve or finding some light at the end of the tunnel, or just creating a conversation or dialogue with your friend that you never thought you would have. So thank you so much for joining us for 50 episodes. Thank you so much to Russ, my amazing husband and sound engineer, who helped create all of our podcast sounds so beautifully dynamic and mastered so well in the sound quality, and the love and support from our friends and community. You know, we recorded 50 incredible pieces of episodes for you guys, only with the help of our community and support of our loved ones and you guys listening, our reviewers, our people that are giving us ratings. And, you know, we really are truly just so thankful. And, you know, we try to improve and offer the best quality content and topics that you guys can truly, truly relate to and see yourselves in. Why? Because no topic was off the table. We included different types of communities and career stories and stigmas. The Conscious Kitchen podcast is truly a labor of love. And we just want to thank you to all the amazing sponsors we've had in these past seasons to support our podcast, and also the truly, truly visionary guests and world shifters and creators and movers and shakers throughout our podcast. Thank you so much for being part of our dialogue and conversations. It's been truly just, you know, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, because it's been so gratifying for Liz and I just to even have the privilege to have these incredible guests. Also, I want to shout out to my amazing co-host, Liz, who produces and organizes our podcast for over 50 episodes. And she's done a fantastic job, as well as her amazing voice and curation with the podcast. Shout out to you, Liz. I'd like to say, you know, after 50 episodes, we've done one hell of a job. In turn, we wanted to give you guys another amazing gift to highlight from our past episodes and past guests. And the topic is Lessons from the Heart on Self-Love, advice from our amazing top guests. And so far, you will hear from Lizzie Jeff, Toki Monsta, Andrea Berica, Kat Graham, Ali T. Kutler, Liz Hernandez, Carly V, Sophia Rowe, Emma Loom, and I Am Kittens. You know, speaking of everything that you've been through with the industry and everything, I mean, I'd love to hear like some of the hardest lessons you've learned, like just honestly and very raw, like, you know, for other people just to learn, you know, through your journey.
Gosh, you know, yes, I said gosh. Again, I think it's so important. I think if anyone is getting into the industry, you have to know who you are, and you have to be really grounded in who you are. I remember when I first started in radio, my boss said to me, "Can you sound more Latina?"
Oh my gosh.
And while that was extremely insulting, and I was, I don't know if you call it racist or rude or what. I don't even know what you categorize that as. But mm-hmm. I just thought to myself, how is a Latina supposed to sound? Am I not supposed to speak as good of English as you? Am I supposed to have an accent? Like, what box are you trying to put me in? And if I was going into this industry insecure and not confident and sure of who I was, mm-hmm. I would have become insecure. I would have said, mm-hmm. something's wrong with the way I talk. I'm going to look for validation from my boss now. I'm sorry. How do you want me to sound? Let me try and you know, make myself into what makes you comfortable. And that for me was a huge lesson in the very beginning, because I thought, oh my God, if this is where it's starting, I can only imagine where it goes from here.
Yeah. And so that was your first boss that said that.
And one of my first bosses. And what I learned from that was how important it was for me to talk to other women in the industry, other women that supported me, to be a soundboard to say, this isn't okay, right? Because, you know, you're kind of like, wait, what just happened? And let me talk to somebody about it, so I can make sense of it. And it's good to talk to people that are grounded and centered too, because you want good feedback from people that love you and support you, because they're going to say, no, that is wrong. No, that you are enough. No, you know, and of course my mother was my soundboard, and it was just reaffirming that, okay, no, this isn't the right messaging. And you know, and that happened a lot in television too. Someone will tell you like, oh, you know, this dress looks unflattering on you, or you need to wear blue eyeshadow, and you can internalize all of that. You could, you know, if someone isn't secure with themselves, they could say, oh, this is about me. But no, it's any host that would have sat in that chair, they're gonna pick apart. So you have to know that it has nothing to do with you, that it's just, you're a byproduct of what they're trying to create. Mm-hmm. And anybody that comes along, they're gonna try to fit you into the mold of what they think is the perfect radio host or the perfect TV host. And that's why I used to tell other women that were trying to become a host on any show, is we become so fascinated with the people that have made it before us that we think, oh, this is how a radio host should sound. This is how a TV person should sound. This is how a podcaster should sound. And if anything, you're just blending in with all the noise.
Exactly.
If you're yourself, you're going to completely stand out, because you don't sound like everybody else. Because, you know, I could have easily gone on the radio and be like, hey, it's Liz and good morning, Los Angeles, and we're here and I'm going to give you the weather and it's 82 degrees outside. It's like I go into this broadcaster voice, and that's not what's going to cut through, because that's not, people know that's not authentically you.
Yeah.
And that to me was, I think, the lesson I had to really fight against, because it's hard. It's hard not to be around other people that sound a certain way. And you're thinking like, oh, if I want to succeed, I have to sound this way, and I have to stand this way, and I have to make my body move this way, or, you know, I have to be this thin, or I have to have lighter hair, or whatever that is that people think in their minds. Just know that it's false. And it's just a story and an illusion that we all create.
Curly, we wanted to bring you on for Pride and like just talk about Pride Month and like what it means for you. And you know, if you want to share your story and tell us how you came, possibly a coming out story to your family, that would be amazing. And or family and friends. And what was that like for you?
Awesome. I do want to say too that Pride is such a privilege. I mean, it's such a privilege to be able to come out. It is such a privilege to step into Pride and owning your identity. And so I want to be mindful that like there are so many people out there who can't do it, and they shouldn't feel forced to do it. And if you're in a safe space in your home, in your family, in your spirit, and in your life to come out and be proud, definitely do it. I always say there's a whole world out here who is ready and excited to love you and celebrate you for exactly who you are.
Our podcast is about like the conscious kitchen, like having conversations that are very important in the kitchen, right? All the soulful conversations that happen with our friends and our family. So can you give us some tips on, you know, we all have these negative self-beliefs that we all endure. What does your inner voice sound like? And what are some ways that you overcome these beliefs and practices for living up with a better mindset?
Oh man, inner voices are tough, huh? Those are such weird things. So my biggest one is like the biggest inner voice for a lot of people, and used to be mine, was this fear voice. Like just so scared of rejection and scared it's not going to work out. And I feel like, you know, you gotta learn how to make really good friends with fear and just do it anyway. Cause man, you're scared because you care. So you've got to just remember that, you know, fear is a Gemini, right? On one side is fear, the other side is care. You know, you've got to get through the fear side to get to the care side. And I think you've got to just do it. whatever it is, understand that no's will happen. I've had far more no's than yeses. And those things are just part of it. They're part of what make you get older and just feel a lot more okay with yourself. I make mistakes every single day. I will continue to make mistakes. I say things wrong all the time. Like, those are the things that, I mean, discomfort tea. I think that's something that we're all taking a big swig of in 2020, which is good.
Yes.
Because that's how you grow.
Yeah. If
growing is very exactly. uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know, and I think that I'm always kind of thinking about, okay, fear, I got you. I feel you. You're in there. But like, I have work to do. So I'm just going to have to get it done. It's like Jerry Saltz. I keep going back to him, the famous art critic. He talks about how you got to put out the work you're currently doing, because the best work you're ever going to put out can't be put out till you put this out. So like,
wow,
you know, what you're currently yeah. working on, an idea, I got to get it out, because you guys, I have to believe that the best things I'll ever write haven't been written yet. So I should go ahead and just publish what I've already written so that I can get to yes. the good stuff.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. You know?
That's such a good way to look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. And Stephen King, he talks about this idea, you know, we only have so much time on this planet where we are cognitive beings. We know who we are, we know what we are, and we know what we want to say. And with such a short fraction of time to be that cognitive, it's almost your responsibility to just live and do it. You know, you've only got so much life here. We don't even know how long you actually do have. Mm-hmm. So it's just, let's just like bang it out. Let's just make it the best thing ever, because what we can't get back is time. And that, the older that I get, the closer to that I sort of realize. Like that fear inner voice, that thing. Fear is more evil than sugar, I swear to you. I mean, it's like, it will literally keep you from living your purpose.
That's for damn right.
It really is. Yeah. Truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Truly. Like, I mean, all the french fries in the world, all the candy in the world aren't going to actually keep you from fulfilling your dreams. You know what I mean? And I think about that a lot. And that is a big way that I'm able to kind of like, okay, this voice, quiet it. You're fine, Soph. Like, you're good. Yes. Keep it rolling.
Thank you so much for that. I really love how you talked about how to not dilute our magic. Can you give us a tips on like, how do we not dilute our magic?
Oh, man. Yeah. So I like, you know, it's funny. I've been asked questions like this before, and I'm just like not a bullet point type of human being. Like, I wish I could be like, do X, Y, and Z, and like, then you're going to learn how to not dilute your magic. But I work in more of the like non-linear spaces, and everybody is different, you know? So what works for me may not work for somebody else. And I really honor that and the work that I do with women too. But for me, what it had, like how I sort of learned to not dilute my magic is that uncensored self-expression that you guys were kind of mentioning at the beginning of this. I've been in a lot of spaces, a lot of like ceremonial plant medicine spaces where I'm in the presence of other women and I'm like literally crawling on all fours, growling and like sticking my tongue out, and I'm like moving my body like a snake. And so I have gone deep enough with myself to allow myself to be witnessed in those really vulnerable spaces, and kind of had those repairing type of experiences in those relationships, in those experiences that allow me to feel safe enough in those, just in my raw self-expression, you know? So I would say like, that's what has worked for me, is just allowing myself to be egoless, even if it's just for 5 seconds now and then 10 seconds the next time, you know, like we build our capacity to express ourselves. And so just being in those spaces in the presence of other people who are also willing to get weird and willing to get a little bit dirty and like messy has really, really helped me feel comfortable sitting in my own power. You know, because as women, oftentimes like we're, and just humans in general, especially nowadays, we're so used to focusing on the suffering, focusing on the corruption, focusing on all of the quote unquote bad things that are happening. And I'm like, what if we could shift to being able to hold space for both and also feel more comfortable sitting in our power, sitting in that space where we're fearlessly expressing ourselves? So I hope that answered your question. That was a very long answer.
yeah, we have no, I guess, sensory, like with our podcast, we talk about in the episode with Gracie, we talk about DMT using plant medicine, ancient plant medicine. So,
I love it.
So you don't need to censor yourself with any of that. So,
awesome.
So thank you so much. And talking about the vulnerability of being raw and being on all fours and growling, like we love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like we love that stuff on the Conscious Kitchen.
Love it. And that's what's so special about you. And I feel like that was a perfect first question to ask, because that's what is almost like, I don't know, just the fact that you're not fearful. It's like, you know, it's like you express like body movement, which a lot of people, like, they wouldn't be on like the ground doing those kind of things. But I think that's so freeing, and it really helps you tap into such a different part of who you are. So it's like,
yeah, really absolutely. And thank you. I appreciate that. And I want to say one thing too. It's like, not that I'm not fearful, because I definitely feel the fear. And I know that's like not what you were saying, but I don't allow the fear to like dictate my decisions anymore. Like, I was in that space for so long, and that's like in the intro, when I couldn't get out of bed, I was just in such a state of fear, such a state of like feeling like I was going to be abandoned, or I was going to be left, or people weren't going to like me anymore if I was a certain way. And like, it's just been this long journey of like, yeah, feeling the fear. One of my really good friends calls it walking through the devil's anus.
Wow.
Literally what it feels like when you like, oh, you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to fucking die. And then you just walk through that portal, and it's like, you're walking through a fire, and it refines you. It doesn't burn you. You know, if you have the willingness to walk through it. And that's really what I'm committed to. I love taking risks. Like, I kind of love pushing buttons. I love saying things that may be a little bit controversial, because I know that even though it's going to make me feel anxious as fuck, it's going to make me feel really exposed and vulnerable at the end of the day, with boundaries, of course. Right. It's going to refine me. It's going to up-level me. It's going to make me have more of that fearless spirit.
So, yeah, so as a lesbian woman of color that is unapologetic about your identity, how has the Persian community reacted to you? And can you tell us a story of a time where you may have felt like discriminated against and how you might have handled it? We're just hoping that this kind of information helps other people to just embrace who they are, you know?
Yeah. You know, it was definitely a very long process to gain acceptance from that side of the family for me. But once they got there, it was great. But I've noticed, I haven't gotten much discrimination from that community, like in a public forum, but I have gotten so much vulnerability and support and thanks from so many Middle Eastern women who are, like, I get DMs daily. I honestly should start a folder for it of,
that'd be amazing.
That would be cool.
You know, I'm queer, and I think I'm queer, and you know, I live in Iran, or I live in one of, you know, another Middle Eastern country, and I didn't know it was okay. And you know, thank you for being so outspoken. It makes it easier for me, or it makes it easier for my family to see that somebody can be successful and also Middle Eastern and queer. And you know, even people who are just like wanting to come out to someone, even if they can't tell anyone else in their life, their friends, their family, they're just like, I just needed to tell somebody, and I knew you would understand, and I needed to share the secret with someone. And that is always the most like emotional thing for me, because I'm like, God, I can't imagine having to hide who you are from everyone in your life out of just genuine fear. And not just fear of like them not being into it, but like fear of for your life, fear of your family disowning you, fear of violence. Like, I can't imagine. And
wow,
you know, thankfully I'm half Persian. My mom is white, and she's been super accepting since day one. She's like super outspoken and just like, you know, let's go to Pride, like, since day one. So
amazing.
So I had that stability and that support and that balance in one corner, and that really helped me navigate the rest of this stuff. So I think for people who are facing a hard time, whether it's with family or friends or something, as long as they have one person, they can find one person. It can be a friend, a teacher, a distant relative, a person on social media, something, some person, some form of community to like hold them down through the hard process of it, then it makes it easier to keep moving and keep being yourself and keep, you know, being okay with who you are.
And mm-hmm. I love how one of your pillars is sensuality. And I feel like you're so comfortable in your skin on social media, through your music. Mm-hmm. Did you always have like a high degree of confidence, and can you tell us like how to come out of your shell? Like, how do you help through your mentoring for women or for men?
I love that question. Thank you for asking that. Somebody just asked me that yesterday in the masterclass. I would love for y'all to join one of the classes on
Monday.
Yeah,
we'd love that.
That would be really dope. We could do like something creative and like live, maybe like 30 minutes or something. But the confidence, I was just speaking about this last night, is I had to heal my confidence. That's a song that I'm working on, Heal Your Confidence. And what that meant to me was the way that I was showing up in various sectors and social settings, I wasn't all the way like impressed with myself, just to be honest. And so I'm like, even when I get on stage, when I'm spitting my truths, when I first started, I used to like look down because I was nervous, or, you know, I didn't feel all the way confident in myself. Mm-hmm. And I recognized that, and I said, oh, hell no. I said, no, 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 no. Lizzie Jeff is confident. Lizzie Jeff is a queen. Lizzie Jeff is a high priestess. Everything she touched turned to gold. She is a money magnet. She is powerful. She exudes confidence. When she steps into a building, the energy in the entire space elevates. People feel the aura. She don't even have to say too much. That's the energy that I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, what does it take for you to get there? And so in that moment, I decided to step into that version of myself. I said, Lizzie in her most confident version, how does she speak to men? How does she speak to other women? You know, how does she show up? How does she express herself? And so I decided to make a commitment to myself every day where I would literally do the work. I would look in the mirror. And when we look in the mirror, sometimes we're like, ooh, my eyebrows. Oh, why is one breast is larger than the other?
Yes.
Ooh, my teeth. Oh, my goodness. I need to, you know, we always say these things about ourselves.
Looking at everything that's wrong, right?
Yes. So with the mirror work, you allow that to those thoughts, because that's surface layer thoughts. That's shit that we're constantly being projected, like that's being projected onto us through social media, billboards, marketing, literally mm-hmm. everywhere you go, especially if you're a woman. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was like, okay, I got some work to do. So doing that mirror work and allowing those surface layer thoughts to roll, I'm like, okay, now I can get into it. Girl, you are beautiful. I love when you wear that pop of red. Ooh, look at the way your hair just is so kinky and curly. The neck bone, the cleavage. You know, that feels better. It sounds better. It's funny, but it's real. And yeah. I would talk to my girlfriends like that. So I want to talk to myself like that. So I made a commitment to myself to find one new way every single day to fall deeper in love with me. And I've been loving it. And I like to drink my water, and I like to rub myself down in luxurious oils, whether it's avocado oil or sweet almond oil or jojoba. You know, I like to put that in my bath. It's all about loving myself, healing my confidence. I still have a lot of work to do, and I'm cool with that because, you know, I'm already like who I need to be. And I love being a woman because I'm constantly evolving. And just the journey of womanhood is prolific, and I'm learning new things about myself. My body is changing every day, and I love that, and I want to love her. And so, no, I haven't always had that high level of confidence, And like I said, I still have a lot of work to do. But just like anything, you have a house, you're going to take care of the house. Because you know the value of the house is appreciating. So when you add like that garden and make it pretty, that's adding value to it. When you remodel the stove in the kitchen, when you add a sauna to the upstairs bathroom, you're adding value. And so for me, I want to be a very powerful, beautiful, intelligent, just well-rounded asset rather than a liability. And so for me, who better than me to bet it all on me? So yeah. That's where I stand, where I just pour into myself and I build myself up to become even more valuable, because I know what my presence and my art means to the world. I know mm-hmm. what it means to myself. And so I just decided to just really dedicate my life to leveling up every single day so that I can show up in a more powerful way for the community and for those that come after us.
Do you ever get in the way of yourself? Do you feel insecure sometimes to put something out? Does that ever occur? And how do you get past that?
You know, maybe when I was like earlier on in my career, I was holding on to music too much. I was like, I don't know if this is ready to come out. I've learned now that you should just put your music out. Like, don't hold on to it. Don't wait for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
People get so obsessed with this idea of an outcome. And when they're obsessed with the outcome, they're obsessed with the process, right? They're just like, well, if I want to make a song, I have to make sure that I do it right and it comes out on the right label and it has to do this. Mm-hmm. If you hold on to it like that, your project will never come out. Nothing will happen. Just put it out. Let people hear it, because you're going to be looking for labels for the next 10 years mm-hmm. and no one may sign it. But if you had put it out yourself, then at least you would have had someone listen to it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that goes with any kind of aspiration that people have. People are just get so caught up in the process, mm-hmm. they never actually do the thing that they set out to do. Mm-hmm. And I've had this conversation with other people. They're just like, well, you know, I want to start a YouTube career, for example. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, but I need to make sure that I have my set right, I get the right lighting and the right camera. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? There are people with like 100 million views and they're just using their laptop screen. It doesn't, those things don't matter. Just start, just start. And then you can start to add those things as you go.
So true.
Nothing will come into fruition if you're just thinking too much about like, oh, I have to do it the right way. It's so okay. True. Just the concept of good enough, right?
Yeah.
It'll never be perfect, but it'll be good enough.
And, yeah.
That's something important to learn as a musician too.
Yeah. And for everyone, it's like, use what you got, make it work with what you have. Because if you, like mm-hmm. you said, you wait for that perfect moment, that might never come. And then it's like, you missed your opportunity. Yeah.
100%. And, you know, it's realizing ideas, right? Because you guys, for example, you girls, you have decided to do this podcast. You fucking did it. Mm-hmm. You just did the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And people just talk too much and there's no action. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I think it's the major key to success is going for
mm-hmm.
it. I
yeah.
think, you know.
The most amazing part about figuring out my sexuality was how powerful it made me in like other areas of my life. Mm. And it was really about connecting those dots about, ooh, asking for what I want and saying no to what I don't want in this part of my life really extended to others. And that was like a pretty big, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell someone that I met on a dating app, like, hey, it's not working and I'm going to go home now. It was like, it was the times that I said yes and the times that I said no and started to exercise that, that I would say was probably some of the more transformative things.
Yeah. Creating boundaries around your lifestyle. That's really awesome. Which also entail with boundaries within your workspace and mm-hmm. work and relationships. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And with things, it's like, how do you know what you do or don't like if you don't try and experiencing things or try to experiment and just go out there and just do it?
Absolutely. And being in situations where people were exposing them to me and I was being exposed. And it's not just like the boundaries of no, but like creating, here are the things that cultivate joy for me and that bring me desire. And not all of them are sexual. I always explain this. Like, I get a lot of questions from especially women who are like, I don't have a desire in sex. I want to explore. I just feel super shut off. Like, you know, and they don't have a connection there. which I've experienced. And I always kind of encourage people who are going through this to stop thinking that it has to do with like touching genitals. It can be getting your hair blow dried at the salon, right? Mm-hmm. Does that feel pleasurable? Cool. Put that in your pleasurable list. And just about adding to that list of here's the things that just bring delight to my life. And starting with the body connection of like, this feels pleasurable. And it's so like, it sounds so basic, right? Like how can that be a big deal? But I will say that overwhelmingly the barriers to people feeling like they can have the sex life they want is always this like, I'm not enough, I'm not hot enough, I'm not, you know, I'm not adventurous enough to, or, you know, I'm not, like, and even negative feelings, like, I don't want to be that type of person. They're very self-limiting, mm-hmm. and they usually don't come from you. It comes from society. And so when you break that down, you can learn, you can actually ask partners for this. I've loved helping people start to say to their partners, like, you know what, before sex, what would really get me in the mood is a back massage or a foot massage,
right.
and like some hair brushing, because that may be the thing that unlocks all these other positive sexual feelings. And truly, one of the biggest myths that I love to dispel is that a woman's job in sex is just to be hot and desirable. Like that's like, there's actually pleasure, orgasms, like touch, you know, touch the parts of about yourself that feel good, and amazing things can happen in the rest of your life.
So as far as wellness, what has worked for you these past few weeks or months or anything? What has really transformed your life?
Oh, I hate saying this because I'm a triple Virgo, and
I'm a Virgo too.
I know. And it's been hard. The thing that has helped me the most is letting go. Like you do the work and you let go. I've always been a control freak. And I think that comes from like having a difficult childhood and struggling through most of my career and being like, I have to control everything or else my life is going to fall apart and I'll be back to where I started. There's always that kind of subconscious fear that that's going to happen. I would say letting go of my planner sometimes, turning off my phone and being present and just focusing on being in harmony with the universe, with God. That has been the best and coolest part of the past 2 years is that, you know, I'll do the work and whatever's meant to be will be. And truly believing that, not just like, oh yeah, well, it's meant to be, you know, but even through all of my losses, this and, you know, over the past few years, which have been pretty significant, understanding the importance of being in a union with God, you know, and letting go. You are not God. I mean, you are in some level, right? You have that. We're all a part of the same consciousness, but there is a higher consciousness that has divine purpose for you. And if you stay in that place of love and gratitude, you will end up exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything you're saying is resonating with us for sure. Okay. I think that letting go has been this week's topic as well. Being a Virgo, yeah, it's just like holding resentment or holding something that didn't work out, or, you know, why didn't this work, or this person like didn't do this for me or something like that. You know, I think maybe Virgos, we struggle with that, but yeah, that's been on my mind too. Letting go. It's so powerful, right? Just let it go. Just let it go.
What is meant for you will not go past you. And sometimes, especially with social media, we look at what other people have and what other people are doing. And we're like, well, why couldn't I get that? Like, I'm more talented. I'm more this. I have more vision. I have more this. And we start to, but through that process, we start to diminish our own worth. And if we just looked at it like with gratitude and said, like, thank you, God, because you obviously knew that I wanted that and it didn't happen. So it must be for some really divine reason. And thank you for removing it from my life. and coming at things from like this place of absolute gratitude, you know, I think I'm a pretty humble person, but I also have a massive ego. So I see girls that don't have half the resume I do doing bigger things or what I would consider huge things. Mm-hmm. And I get in my head and, you know, I have to constantly remind myself to stay in a place of gratitude, because if I was doing that one job, I wouldn't have done this other job, or I wouldn't be able to go on this refugee mission, or, you know, is that even in my higher purpose? Is that even in the map towards my higher purpose? Or is that just a pure ego request that I just want to have that so I can be on that cover or be on that screen with that actor? Like, is it coming from the place of what I have in conversation with God defined as my absolute purpose on this earth?
Tell us about your journey to self-love and loving yourself and being okay with all the different facets of your personality.
So, you know, a lot of people ask me this question because I feel like a lot of people see me as like some kind of authority on self-love. And the truth is, people who are on this journey to love themselves better find it's a daily practice, and it gets slightly easier with time. But, you know, there are so many days where I wake up and I'm like, not so into myself today. I don't feel super cute today. But that has lessened in like frequency and intensity since I was younger. When I was younger, I played soccer for 15 to 20 years, and I was so hyper fixated on my body, its size. I always felt, you know, I was too fat, and I would come back from these really intense soccer trainings and go on another 5-mile run and like not to eat food. And this was like, you know, a high schooler who was just, I was so hyper fixated because I was always big boned and I was always bigger than all of the other girls around me. And boys in high school would make fun of me. Like they called me Shrek, or they would just say like, you know, hurtful things like boys in high school do.
Yeah.
And that would really stick with me. And so it was my part of my journey in life to overcome these challenges. And this is a really common narrative for women especially. And, you know, I think it's something around 75 to 80% of women in the world don't like their bodies and feel ashamed about their bodies. So this is a really, really common narrative. And for me, the way that I moved through it was when I started modeling. And I initially had moved to London. I was studying abroad and I played for a soccer team there. And I entered a curvy modeling competition. And it was like looking for, you know, size 12 and up girls. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to enter this. Like, maybe I can win some money. I'm super broke. I'm a student. And I entered it and then ended up getting a contract from it. And I really never thought that that was a possibility for me. People used to say like, maybe, you know, you could model like if you lose 40 pounds, people used to say things like that. And I would be like, hey, I never want to model. That's never going to happen for me. And then when I started modeling, I was like, first of all, wow, this is crazy. Never anticipated this. And second of all, I had to look at myself in pictures and familiarize myself with my size, my body. I was looking at all the things that I thought were perceived flaws up close, you know? Mm-hmm. And the first year was really hard for me because I saw all these pictures and I was like, ugh, I just don't look cute. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I look so much fatter than I thought I did.
Yeah.
And all of these, like, you know, niggling insecurities that you carry around with you and that becomes the narrative of your life were surfacing. But the more and more I started to model, the more I started to see women who were size 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, who were absolutely beautiful. And because I changed the imagery that I was seeing from, you know, super skinny heroin chic or Kardashian body to a curvier woman, I reprogrammed my mind to see that there were women who were bigger sizes that were, you know, drop dead gorgeous. And so with that, like, constant bombardment of new imagery, my mind started to shift and I started to see, oh, okay, like, I'm kind of cute too.
Yeah.
And that's totally, you know, that belief that I was like less than or had less value started to erode after many years. And I carried around fat phobia with me and, you know, the things that come with the culture that we've been indoctrinated into thinking that if you have fat on your body, that you are somehow less valuable or less attractive. So those thoughts started to slowly erode, and I became aware of the programming and aware of my trauma and aware, you know, it all starts with becoming aware of it first, mm-hmm. so that you can then work through it. And now I have more good days than bad days. I have more days where I'm like, okay, I look great. I'm happy. And also the most important thing is realizing that it's not about the way you look. So you have to kind of start at the level of, I love my body, I love myself. And then you transcend to the next step, which is, it's actually not about the body and it's not about the way you look. It's about your integrity in the world. Are you living your life's mission? Are you helping your community around you? Are you a good person? And so we kind of have to go through that first step of accepting ourselves to then move to the next step. So that's for sure. My experience with the self-love journey.
Yes, Allie, yeah. Dropping gems today. Dropping gems, girl. Thank you guys again for sharing your time with us today. Share this episode with a friend. Tell a friend about it. Tell your cousins. Tell your mom. Bookmark us. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, on Spotify, Apple, or Google, wherever you guys are listening. And be sure to get the notifications whenever we release a new episode. And why not, you know, buy us a coffee? I'll give you the link in the link below on where you can guest buy us a coffee, because helping independent media like us can help us keep our podcast healthy and running. You could check us out on buymeacoffee.com/CK podcast, and you could buy us a coffee there. All right, guys, this is your co-host, Laura, and thank you so much for listening to Conscious Kitchen. We love you. See you on the next one.